What is up, people? This is Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton American style. Apologies for missing out on last week's recording. We had one scheduled and I didn't feel great. And I got worried, had the chills, and I was like, oh crap, something bad is coming. But guess what? It was nothing. I woke up the next morning and I was fine. And I was cursing whatever vessel I dwell upon this earth in. You know what I mean? I just entered a sentence in a preposition, and I'm just going to deal with it. So joining me this week, I've got a familiar face, familiar voice. I just want to – and if you're watching this, you get to gaze upon his magnificent Orlando City shirt. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob Ritchie is joining us from Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Chattanooga.
So, yeah, give the big welcome. You, right now, Jacob, you need to imagine all these wonderful Everton supporters going, yay, yay. Yeah, because that's what they sound like, right? Jacob, mm-hmm. It's good to have you back, man. It's good to talk to you.
It's good to be here. Always good to have a chat with you.
So I'm doing something a little different, First of all, also for everybody watching, I apologize. My hair is absurd. And for everybody who's listening, I assure you, it's a weird thing. And I don't know what I'm doing with it. Just letting you know right now. You could probably hear it. So just had to get that out of the way. So I'm doing something a little different, not just with the lettuce on my noggin, but also with the intro. I'm going to do something a little bit on the different side. I'm going to start. I'm putting Jacob on the spot. With some of these questions, I have not told him any of the questions ahead of time, and because I know Jacob is a guy who presents compelling arguments when speaking to folks, he knows his politics really well. He's just a reasonable fellow. Jacob, I would like you to start. Just give us a little bit of background for the people who don't know you super well. Tell us the story of you. Let's get the Jacob story. Let's just go ahead and get this knocked out right now. Jacob the story.
I'm a college student. I'm a junior at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. I'm studying politics to go to law school, and I have been around supporting Everton for 6-7 years now.
Mm-hmm. So, and so you're originally not from Tennessee, though, right?
No, just north of the border in Kentucky, Greenville.
Right on, Greenville, Kentucky. And for those of you folks in Britain, you need to be aware that every single state in this United States has a Greenville. So
all of them. Every single one.
You know, it's really funny, just to like the odd coincidence, plugging something that happened this past weekend. There was a gathering in Greenville, South Carolina. Carolina Toffees were gathering there at an outdoor location. It looked awesome. And Tony Sampson from Everton, Chicago, actually was taking a big old road trip. He stopped by. They have all these pictures. Made it look super fun. And I was just like, couldn't go. Got kids' games to go to. I doggone support of my children.
The life of a responsible dad.
So Greenville's all over. Lots of, you know, birthing great things like Carolina Toffees gatherings and Jacob. Yeah. Good stuff, everybody. So now that I've interrupted the story of Jacob, what else? What else defines you, Jacob? What else is going to give us an idea of who you are? And then I'm going to delve even deeper.
Oh, that's a tough one. You're putting me on the spot, Jerry. Who am I?
Yes.
Who am I?
It doesn't. You don't have to go all existential. You know, you don't have to unless you want to. Then the show becomes completely different. Toffee Blues, you, Y-O-U-S-A.
I mean, I am a huge soccer fan, obviously, avidly. I'm a food lover. Mm-hmm. I am a very sociable people person. Mm-hmm. And I write for fun. I love to write about sports, politics, law journals, and everywhere.
Wow. You write law journals?
I do.
Hold on. Question.
Very, very dumbed down law journals. We're not talking 100-page master's thesis here or anything.
Yeah,
very
simple stuff. Yeah, you got to make sure we don't hold you in too high esteem there.
No,
Jacob. That's like saying, oh, I won an Oscar, but it was just a lower level Oscar.
It was an indie film.
It's one of those for like sound editing. It's not a lower level Oscar. That was a joke.
Sound
editors out there. Mm. wow, I didn't know this stuff, by the way. This is all new information. You're writing about all this stuff for fun. Is it always like nonfiction, that kind of stuff, or do you ever delve into like story?
I'm not really like a big story person. I like to analyze things and write how I feel about them. Like that's why I like writing for about soccer so much, because you watch the game and then you get to be like, hey, this is what I saw and this is what happened. And it's cool. Mm-hmm. I like getting to tell people about stuff.
Nice. So mm-hmm. It's interesting that you're going into law and not a journalistic type of pursuit. You know what I mean?
I know. Tossed up both.
Nah, it must be awful being great at more than one thing, Jacob. It's
great at two things. You're killing me.
So, next thing. You've told me you like some things. Okay. Now, I would like for you to convince me to do something. Indulge in a movie, a show, a food, a dance, a drink, a book, an artist, maybe your favorite kind of socks, your favorite clothes. Convince me of the merits of something to where I need to do more research and get into it.
Jerry, I've got something perfect for you. Have you ever seen the show BoJack Horseman?
Yes.
Listen, one of my favorite shows of all time, okay? The writing is incredible. I love the animation style of that show. And for very extensive portions of that show, it deals with an animated horse that has an alcohol and drug problem. Mm-hmm. And you know, the bigger existential crises of life. And as someone who has had family members in these same situations with substance abuse, right? Mm. I think it's interesting that it tells such a good, powerful character story while also being something that you can watch and be like, haha, that was funny. But then you can think about it later and say, wow, that was also #deep, you know?
Wow.
And like, it sounds super conventional when you talk about it like that, like really stereotypical, but it's such a good show, and everybody I can convince to watch it, I do.
Yeah, what's funny is I know I've seen the first season, the whole first season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I've seen the second one or not. I don't remember. I know for a fact there are two things I love about that show. No, three things.
Give me three.
All right. Number one, the opening credits. Does the opening credits, at least, I know for this first season at least, it's so haunting for a comedy, short, goofy comedy show. It's haunting and beautiful. The music is just on point. It just slowly drifts from scene to scene. It's just, it almost feels like you're floating through a party, you know? It's beautiful, right? So there's that. Number two, Amy Sedaris, okay? Mm. Who plays... okay, this is how long the show has been. It's a cat character.
Yes.
Agent.
Yes.
Agent, yeah. She is somebody who's actually from North Carolina, and her brother is a famous writer, David Sedaris, right?
Right.
And she did a show on Comedy Central a long time ago called Strangers with Candy. And she's like this, she's one of the funnier humans, like just out there. She's just an amazingly funny human being.
Mm-hmm.
She's brilliant. And Strangers with Candy, it's just vile. She's just so dirty and witty at the same time. How can you be so good at both? She's great. Also, last thing, Is the character named Vincent Adultman?
Yes.
Who is? I don't want to spoil this for anybody. I don't think it's spoiling anything. But Vincent Adultman is actually it's two or three children wearing a trench coat playing themselves off as an adult.
And it's one of the best gags in the whole show. It just goes and goes and goes and goes.
It's great. It's very good.
It's so good.
Okay, so you've convinced me to reindulge in the show. Mm. Well done. You speak really clearly about it. It's like, I feel like you've spoken about it before. It's pretty good. It's almost as though I planned this and I told you about this beforehand. And Jacob, you're making it look like I cheated here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the deal? Okay, last question before we go to an Everton-based question. This is getting to the football, soccer realm, soccer, ooh, football.
To the footy.
Depending
to
on the
footy.
Audience, you can choose to close your ears, earmuffs, when I say soccer. Okay. U.S. national team played today.
Okay? Yes.
So, I only got to see parts of it. Mm-hmm. But my opinion right now is not worth it right now. Nobody needs my opinion. I didn't see the game. However, I find myself getting a little excited.
Well, how can you not?
So, if you were talking to one of our – we have our Toffee Blues message group on Twitter. So, if you're talking to one of those guys, you know, in England, talking to these guys, and you're trying to convince them the U.S. national team is actually going to be for real sometime soon – Can you convince them of that, or do you even want to go there? Do you feel like it's more of an investment? It's going to take. There's talent there, but is there a style? Is there cohesion? You know, where do you go on this?
I think okay. Here's the thing. This is probably the best and deepest youth pool the national team has ever had. Clearly, right now we're not there. We're not competing in the World Cup right now. But, okay, for example, when I was watching this game against Jamaica today, at halftime, Christian Pulisic gets subbed off. Mm-hmm. Brendan Aaronson comes on. And I think it says a lot about the depth when you can sub off one of the best young talents in the world and be like, now I'm even more excited because here comes Brendan Aaronson. And, I mean, you look all over the pitch. I mean, it's Gio Reyna. Musa is incredible.
Oh, my God.
Sergino Dest playing out of position was incredible today. Reggie Cannon, very good. John Brooks, always good. Josh Sargent, incredible assist today. Leggett had two goals from midfield. Oh. I think there's a lot there. And I think for – in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to start seeing some of these young guys get really scary good. Mm-hmm. And so I do think there's potential there for the U.S. men's national team to really start competing at a higher level than they ever have been.
I agree. I'll be curious about stylistically what Berhalter sort of ends up like.
Yeah, and that's
settling
the thing,
on.
Nobody really knows what Berhalter wants to play or what team he favors. Mm-hmm. And of course there's the contingency of people that claim that he is very MLS biased. Mm-hmm. And I think that's even going to be a non-issue now because so much of our young talent has gone away from MLS.
Yeah.
Like who's going to get into the team from MLS anymore, you know?
I mean, I feel like every single player you just mentioned plays in Europe.
Mm-hmm. I think Brendan Aaronson is still currently playing for the Union.
No.
No.
He's at RB Salzburg.
Really?
Yeah.
Recently?
He sold him. Yeah.
Oh.
I love that kid. He's one of my favorite young talents we have.
See, that's what I thought. Because I thought he had gotten sold. And then on the broadcast today, they said that he had participated in some preseason with the Union. And I know that Orlando have played the Union twice already in the preseason. No, and I thought I remembered his name coming up, but I guess not.
Yeah, he's been playing for Salzburg in Europa League. Yeah, we watched him play Europa League for Salzburg. And, like, I was showing other, we watched them specifically for him so I could show my kids, be like, that kid right there was just playing in MLS. He's a fantastic talent. Watch him. And he's, I mean, he obviously needs more seasoning, you know, he needs more strength, but he's, I mean, he was a heck of a player in MLS. He's a heck of a player in Austria right now. He's exciting. I'm with you, dude. I can't say they're for real yet.
Right.
Like, I can't. Yeah, I'm with you. But
man, we are spoiled for talent.
You see, strides. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Really cool to see the strides. Awesome. So this is a tough one. We're going to delve into Everton content now. So all of you people who are watching an Everton show, listening to an Everton podcast for Everton content.
There you go.
Welcome. This is for you. City match, FA Cup.
Yeah.
Loss.
Yeah.
Tight game. Not possession wise, but in terms of scoreline, then we give up one goal. Then we start stretching to try to go for it and give up another. It happens. So I saw two prevailing sentiments on here, Jacob, on Twitter and on social media, two very definitive, very like, I didn't stutter, this is how I really feel type of opinions. And they almost felt like the opposition was silly for thinking how they thought. Mm. All right. So, A, there's the opinion that, hey, City's great. We had a solid game plan based on our talent. We gave up that one goal. And because of that, we stretched and gave up the second one. We put in a good shift. It's going to be okay. Okay. And people were kind of like, you know what? It could be worse. Could have been embarrassed, right? It's sort of the could be worse crowd, you know? It's the, hey, that was a fantastic team. Maybe the best team in the world right now. Let's chill out, right? I would even almost go so far as to say that's the optimist route, right? Glass half full. Then there's the pessimist route, which is we didn't win. We didn't win, and I don't like having my head patted by people telling us, you did a good job, buddy. You know what I mean? You'll get there eventually, little guy. So
that's funny. I'm sorry you got me.
So people don't like that. It's very like, hey, we're not there. It's the nil satis nisi optimum like way of thinking about it. It's like that wasn't the best, so it's not good enough.
Right.
Okay? And these two sides are really strong. And I hear people, when I see them on Twitter, I don't see as much opposition. I don't see a lot of arguing because typically those people are followed by people who agree with them. And they blocked everybody who doesn't. And vice versa. You know what I mean? So it was just really interesting because I usually don't weigh in on this kind of stuff because I'm not a big fan of Twitter arguments.
No.
I just don't like them. I've gotten into silly back and forth before. It's so ridiculous energy. And I'm just like, if I were talking to you, we'd get this done like this.
Nobody wins on Twitter. Oh.
So, Jacob, how do you feel you and – how do you feel about the opposition view?
See, I am much more probably in the first camp. I mean, when you're talking about City, right? I mean, it's a team that had won, 18 in a row and been unbeaten in 23 or 24 games, something ridiculous. So, I mean, they're coming to Goodison Park, which usually is a good thing for us. Keep in mind, we haven't been great at home. Okay, eventually it's going to have to change, but for now it is what it is. The injury list, not great. You're missing you're probably your most creative player in your whole team, James Rodriguez.
Right.
So it, just with him gone, you get into this, well, we're not going to be able to hold and create and play this, just pass it around, keep the ball style of game like Manchester City do. And so I was talking, funny enough, I was talking to my girlfriend about the same thing. Bless her heart, she is kind enough to watch soccer with me. And I said, this game is going to be very much so hard on our team. It's going to be without the ball. We're going to be chasing the game. It's going to have to be a lot of standing in deep, blocking shots. It's not going to be fun, especially for somebody like Calvert-Lewin, right? Or Ben Godfrey, who's chasing the game. And that's what it was for 87 minutes. And I thought we were pretty good, actually. I thought our back line was great, held its shape really well. I thought even with this massive amount of possession they had, they didn't create a ton. Mm-hmm. I thought Jao Virginia played really well also.
Mm-hmm.
And when they score the first goal after De Bruyne comes on, it's that moment where you had let yourself start to believe. I know I had. I was like, well, maybe if we can just get it into extra time, then maybe we can hold on to penalties. And then maybe Aguero and De Bruyne don't score past Jao Virginia, you know? You get there.
Yeah.
So when the first goal flies in, I look at her and I remember going, all right, here comes the second.
Mm-hmm.
And before you could even really blink. And I said, that is why you can't come into this game wide open like so many armchair managers on social media want you to do. We would have lost that game 10-0. Mm-hmm. And I think we made a really good – I think we had a really good showing, and I think we made a good name for ourselves. And I don't mm-hmm. think that's a game that most people expect us to win. And, of course, you'd like to win it, but recruit in the summer, get better, yeah. Come back next season. I think that's okay. Realistic expectations are okay. Not everything – is trophy or fire, you know? I think there's some middle ground to be had there.
Hmm. So, does it make you cringe, kind of the other angle?
See, I mean, and not really even, because I understand the people who are like, you don't want to be on social media like, that is what I wanted to happen. Because, I mean, for me, even in the last 5 years, what have Everton done cup-wise besides that semifinal in, what was it, 2015 in the FA Cup? Since then, we hadn't gotten out of the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
You have to take the progress and be willing to be optimistic about progress while also being able to acknowledge that we want to keep doing better.
Right.
So,
yeah, I wasn't super angry after this one.
No.
You mentioned a lot of the points I would have made. The only thing that I would say I would have added to it is somebody who would have really helped was Decore.
Yes, I agree.
Decore.
Huge.
Against a team where we need to break up their play, you know, it's just energy in a bottle and you don't have it. That stinks, you know? And so it's the thing we were missing two primary presences to make our team as strong as they could be.
Right.
Right. So that's going to be tough. Believe it or not, I was actually sort of encouraged. That's, you know, the fact that there was a game plan put in place
mm-hmm.
and things were tight and we were missing those players. Good teams should be able to do that.
Yes.
Now, really good teams win that game, find a way,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Find a way to win the game, no doubt about it. And these people are right. Yeah,
yes.
It sucks. We lost. It sucks. All right. But I think I can't sit there and tell anybody who's feeling like, hey, we didn't win. It's embarrassing that you think it's okay we lost. Those kind of folks, I can't even begin to tell them that I think they're wrong because I don't, because a lot of this depends on your personal psychology, man.
Right.
You know, who are you as a person? Where are you at right now? you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and tell you I felt all warm and fuzzy from, you know, getting, you know, pulling a goose egg against City in a cup quarterfinal. I don't.
Yeah.
It sucks. The reality is, if you want to go cut and dry, black and white, the people who are negative about it are right. We lost. Period. It sucks. Right? If you want to go black and white. If that's where you're at in life, cool. Do you. You know? But, I don't know. I gotta be honest. I feel like there were some factors. You know? And I tend to agree with you, Jacob. I didn't think it was the worst. I didn't think we had a lot of awesome chances on goal, but we had chances. They were there. And yeah. We didn't give up a ton of clear chances for them, which is sort of what our MO is this season. We're not giving a lot of sight on goal, you know? So, yeah, I'm not – am I bummed about it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I encouraged by certain stuff? Yeah. The stuff you said, man. Stuff you said,
it's crazy because I think if we just get one of those little half chances to go, we can win that game. I mean, I don't think we're that far off. And Decore would have absolutely loved that game.
Yeah.
He would have been everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I don't think it's as black and white as some people make it out to be. But I also understand that view as well.
And that's what I was going to say. I think you and I are similar in that. You know, we're both kind of like, that's a complicated question. I think we say that a lot in life. to a lot of questions, you know, but that's just kind of where we're at. And if you're the kind of person who's out there and is saying, look, I don't find it to be complicated. That's cool. That's fine. You don't have to convince me. It's
see, because I've been on both sides of this argument with Everton many times. The apathy sets in at random times and it happens. I mean, it's tough being an Everton supporter.
Well, that's the thing. I've felt that way again for other teams. Mm-hmm. That I've supported when everybody's like, oh, you did a great try.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, screw that.
Right.
Should have won that game. You know, and it's like I've been that jaded supporter who's sick of getting, you know, torched in a tournament.
See, Nani misses the PK in the semifinal of the MLS Cup, and it's pats on the head for Orlando. Good try, but we're two stupid red cards. And we're out of the tournament because people can't keep a cool head. And that's frustrating. And you feel jaded by it. And your star player misses a penalty, Nani, and you're out of the tournament just like that. And, you know, yeah, it's jading. It's jading.
Yeah. It is. It is. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people are, by the way, most of them are not like – and this is where the American angle comes in. I feel like some of these folks are people who've been supporting for a long time.
Yes.
And they're just like – you know, now I will say a lot of the people in our Toffee Blues group, they're long time since birth Everton supporters. And a lot of them were like, that City team's amazing.
Right.
He did it all right. Move on. You know?
Yeah.
So you don't have to be a long term supporter. Again, like I said, it's personal psychology.
Yes.
It really is. So, okay. That was just something I've been like vexed with this, like doing a tug of war with myself, like seeing this on Twitter, and I'm just kind of like, it's just competing, and I don't think it's bad discussions to have.
Can you imagine if you had been as passionate about Everton as you are now in say like the 80s and the 90s when Everton were really good, and now you've been through this big drought? It's understandable. Yeah. I get how these people feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, Jacob. That's well done. Okay. Jacob's got the last word on that. Move on. That's an awful throw. Everybody delete that part. Pretend like you didn't see it. Much better, Jerry. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go on to the mailbag. So a lot of questions this week. I'm going to start with our Twitter questions, and then I'll move on. There's too many to do. We're going to do our best. We're going to have to go fast, though.
Lightning round.
Okay. So if we give short shrift to your brilliant question, and granted, I'm telling you, there are really good questions here. All right. Apologies. Come on the show. Let's talk about it next time. All right. So,
we love you all.
Just send a message. Let's do this. All right. So are you ready for the mailbag?
I'm ready. Let's get into it.
Okay. We are starting with the brothers McAllister, each individually submitting questions independent of each other.
Paul and Terry.
Yep, Paul and Terry. Terry and Paul.
Mm. Bad Boys for
Dream
Life.
Dream Team. Dynamic Duo. Mm. Legion of Doom. You know, yeah. Anyway, so Terry, because his was posted first, I'm going to say his first. It has nothing to do with him being older or if the question's better. So Paul. Positive Paul. All right. So Terry, Josh King, stick or twist? That's his first question. Stick or twist, Josh King. What do you got?
Twist.
Why?
The club already said they're letting him go, so now I'm stuck at this, like he's going anyway.
Did they actually, though? That's the thing. We have no idea if they actually said that, right?
It doesn't feel like we're going to keep him. It feels like he was brought in as an emergency striker for 6 months, and then he's gone.
It's really hard to disagree with that, Jacob. So, yeah.
And he will get a job playing somewhere else. He's a great striker. I just don't think he's perfect.
I just don't – I mean, he's not getting any time now when we've had several opportunities where we have needed him, and he's not been getting the time.
Not promising.
I would feel a lot better had he been placed there, and I would feel like Carlo had more faith.
Yes, so, I agree.
Fully down with being wrong on that, by the way.
Yes,
I hope
me
it's
too,
just because 100%. I hope it's because he had fitness issues and he's just getting up to snuff and he has a killer rest of the season. But yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Gylfi, new contract.
Yes. Short term.
Hmm? Short term?
Yes.
Do you think he stays if we only, because I mean, he's going to have the occasional option, no?
I think if we offer him, what, maybe a 1 year with an option for a second, and we pay him what we're paying him now, I don't see why he leaves. And I think he's good enough to hang around in our squad as long as he wants to. I mean, if he wants to go play somewhere else, it's not going to matter. But I think he's more than good enough when he wants to be to be regularly rotating in and out. And who are we going to get that's better than him to fill that role as somebody who rotates?
See, that's the thing. I really like the dynamic of, okay, we could start Hamas or we can start Gylfi.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas, who's not going to be healthy, not going to be consistently healthy. Gylfi will, but Gylfi, there's going to be certain games where the lineup, the matchup is more beneficial to go with a different type of player.
And I think that suits Gylfi better even. I think that makes him want to be better. His motivation is helpful because he hasn't had any competition in that cam spot forever.
Mm.
So
yeah, he's a strange guy, man. Not personally. I'm sure he's probably very nice and charming. But but it's like there have been times where moments, there are perceived lacks of effort from folks. I think Carlo likes him.
Yes.
I also think he likes Carlo. I think a lot of it's just going to depend on his other opportunities. And I think Go ahead.
One of the most impactful people in training. You hear it all the time, how good of a manager he is in training.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager obviously likes him. So
yeah,
I'll be fine with it.
I think it's going to be – I think if he leaves, it's not going to be anything personal toward Carlo at all. I think it's because he had an opportunity to be a more influential player at a different club, period.
Where do you think that would be? Just one club off the top of your head?
I was actually going to say a different Premier League. I think there's just – I think he would want to stay in Premier League. Mm-hmm. It's my gut. And I think there are a decent amount of Premier League teams who would pay for him.
Yes.
They really do. And I think they probably – it's very possible that – like I don't know. I think he's physical enough for the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And when he feels – when he believes in a system and he feels important to it, you really get a lot out of him.
Right.
You know? So, anyway. It's a tough one. So I would say I have no problem with offering him a new contract as long as the terms are right.
All right.
Not make a mistake here. I hesitate to roll out a red carpet for him. And for that reason, I actually think he's going to leave. But
I think that's understandable too.
I would agree. I would agree. I wouldn't blame him for leaving if that was the case at all.
No.
Last question by Terry. Diamond formation. Stick with it or go back to wingers?
This is in reference to the 4-4-2 diamond we've been playing, right?
That bizarre, yeah, that kind of, it's very, you know, with those kind of no real wingers, essentially.
No.
And we're getting a lot of our width from our, like our wingbacks.
Right.
Or our fullbacks, whatever you want to, yeah, left and right back.
See, I think that completely depends on who's fit. If Jimenez is fit, I would much rather us be playing wingers with Calvert-Lewin up top and Richarlison and him to both sides. But if he's not fit, then we can't really play that style, I don't think. I don't think we have the personnel to be efficient playing with wingers. I mean, I don't know who you're putting out there because it's Richarlison on one side and then who else?
See, that's your real question. And we had a string of games where Iwobi was influential.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We haven't seen much of that lately. Right? We've actually heard more criticism on him lately. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've seen more of him. A lot of posts, you know, huge fan of the pictures of beans on omelet and omelets, by the way. Those are massive. You know, kind of the weird, like, cryptic Instagram posts about playing his favorite position and that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's hard not to agree with you on this, man, because it does feel like we're light in the winger department. And I feel like the majority of the personnel decisions in terms of formation and tactics almost always depends on who is available and adapting tactics based on those folks. Right? So right. What's going to give you the best chance to win the game?
See, I am personally majorly in the camp that we need a completely new right side in the summer. Right winger, right back, somebody who can play in the right side of midfield.
Mm-hmm.
I think two or three people that could play on the right. And also, with that being said, I would like to say that I think Iwobi is much better than most people give him credit for. And I think he falls into that same camp with Gylfi Sigurdsson, where I think it's going to end up being, oh, we spent this much money on him and he's never going to be able to live up to what people want. Because Gylfi, if you look at his goals and assist record, it's not bad. Iwobi, I think he's been pretty good for the most part. But because we paid the 28 million plus add-ons, it's always going to be, that was a panic buy and we need to move him on. So
Iwobi,
lose-lose for him, I think.
Iwobi, unfortunately, is a situation where he's great at kind of scything through defenses. His ball control is great. Close control when he cuts in. Iwobi's biggest drawback to me is just crossing the damn ball.
The final ball.
Oh, my God. It's like he does so much, and he's very dangerous if you need to crack into like a back line that just doesn't want to move. You need those types of players, you know? You need those types of players who can, you know, maintain the ball and kind of go between two people, so, you know, shifty, and he is one of those. But him as a winger in a situation where you need him to be crossing the ball, I don't feel like we have enough wingers that can cross the ball, period.
No.
When you're in a situation where you've got Luka Dean, right? Yeah. And I realize even with wingers, our fullbacks can get forward. I know. But I think my big problem here is this. I don't know, because we don't have the legs in the midfield of Decore, we need to pack it in.
Yeah.
We need to clog it up. And that is a way for us to not only clog the middle, but create quick combinations to get the ball out wide to our fullbacks and push it forward to our forwards. So I don't know, man. I think
I think you hit it on the head there, honestly. I think that's perfectly stated.
Like I'm Terry, I'm gonna say diamond formation.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm gonna say stick with diamond formation based on who's healthy right now. With Hamez coming back though. Things become interesting.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I've been saying all this without remembering that Hamez may be back in the next game. Hey.
Right.
All right.
Hey.
We'll get there later. So, Terry, thank you for your questions. You're the best and your beard game is unsurpassed. Dude, for real, Terry, you need to come to the American Appalachian Mountains. You will fit in and it'll be awesome. You know you want to come here. Hang out. Let's go hang out by the river. And everybody's going to be like, that guy needs a banjo. Because the beard game is epic.
Crazy.
I haven't gotten to talk to him in so long because I haven't done a show with him for so long. So I have this is my only way to talk to him.
Hi, Terry.
So good. So good, Terry. Love you. All right, now, Paul. Paul, who's always like submitting questions. He's awesome. Okay.
Yes.
Paul is always submitting questions and they're thoughtful. They're friggin' thoughtful.
Agree.
Paul McAllister. Just imagine the conversations in that hot household. Paul asks, Europa Conference League or not? Some supporters saying yay for the away trips, but as international fans, what's your view? I've got to tell you, Paul, thank you for actually, this is like a focused on American fan, you know, international fans who can't go the away game. So do we view it as bothersome extra fixtures or is it exciting the possibility of winning it, being in, you know, competition? What do you think, Jacob?
Oh, I mean, it sounds so pretentious and so bigger than it should be to say because we haven't won a trophy since before I was alive.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be there. We don't want to be in that competition. We don't want to be playing against the teams in that competition. It doesn't matter if we win that competition. I think going into that competition is the same thing recruitment-wise and success-wise as us not being in Europe. No, I don't want to be in the Conference League. It's a waste of time. It's dead fixtures. We don't have the depth for Europa League as it is. So I don't want us to be making signings to play in the Europa Conference League. And that's just pretty much all I have to say about that. You can never change my mind. It feels like such a waste of time. It feels like a money grab. I can't even pretend, Jerry, like I want us anywhere near that thing. Get Southampton in the Conference League and let's move on, please. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I'm just kind of upset, Jacob, that you're avoiding the question. Why won't you actually give a firm stance on this? What's the deal with the waffling? You know? It's just...
And God knows what streaming service it would be on here also that I'd probably have to pay $10 a month more for. Dairy. I already have like 7.
Mm-mm. You're right. I do have a lot of those. It's totally true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The American soccer experience.
So, are you ready for this, Jacob? Are you ready? Are you ready for the shockwaves from North Carolina all the way to Tennessee? Are you ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this.
Hit me. Mm-hmm.
I want to play.
Okay, tell me why. Tell me why. I'm ready. I'm interested
because I want more Everton games. It's really the only reason. I love my family sits down and we watch Europa League games.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. We don't care who it is. We go. Yeah. How there's two Wolfsburg teams. There's another Wolfsburg from is it Austria or Switzerland?
Yeah.
I think it's already. Yeah. I was not familiar with this. Now I know because I'm watching this stuff. I remember the early Europa League games when Koeman was our coach, right? Uh-huh. And we were having to play
Apollon Limassol.
Yes. Before that, Rosenborg, I think.
Right.
I think that's what it was. And it was these small teams. There was, and here's the deal. When we played those teams, we were exposed for being
fraudulent.
Not good. Fraudulent. Terrible. I was this close to saying that word, and I held off because I was like, maybe too strong. And then you said it. So
one of the most embarrassing European performances in the history of world football. I mean,
so you go and you play in a tournament like that and you don't get the wins, you're not good. And mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If there's a competition that exists that we qualify for, every single point you said, Jacob, is totally right. Totally right. It's my heart saying, I want to watch more Everton games.
See, I completely understand that, because if we are in the Conference League, I will be watching it no matter what.
Yeah.
And also, as a second caveat to that, do you know which places qualify for that? No. Is it 8, 9, 10?
No.
Do they not know
yet?
I
have not done, like, any research at all on this because I don't know. Just because I was like, I'm pretty sure. I'm secretly hoping we don't have to worry about it.
I'm pretty sure that it said the Premier League only gets like one spot.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be for the smaller countries mostly, but I'm not really even sure.
If we get into that and we get our asses handed to us, we will have thoroughly deserved it. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know what I mean? You go as a Premier League team to a tournament like that.
Mm-hmm.
Better take it seriously and don't get freaking embarrassed. You know,
if they're there and you're there, then they're not that much worse than you. We learned that the hard way.
Or someone has deemed it that way, right?
Yes.
And it's
yes.
up to you to prove them wrong.
I 100% agree.
So, yeah. Well, I'll just go ahead and say every single thing, Jacob, you said is true.
I agree with you too.
Arguments.
I have no problem with you.
It's just heart. That's all.
Here's my thing. If we make it, win it.
Oh, yeah. Please beat some ass.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Don't go there and show up and then just...
not care.
Yeah.
Get a piece of silverware. Win it. Cool.
Just get us... And play more fixtures, more international fixtures in other countries so that more
money.
People see us. It gets us out there. Now, it ain't going to be a lot of more money than that. Be like, okay, guys, we're gonna cover your dinner tonight.
Subway coupons, Jerry.
Thanks for coming.
Subway coupons for everyone.
We've given you a Subway punch card. It's 2/3 filled, and you buy a few more, you're gonna get yourself a free 6-inch sub.
You never know.
Hey, all right, next. Next question from Alfie Lloyd, who has interacted before on Twitter. Another really good question, and I don't know the ins and outs, but we can definitely give some quick thoughts on it. With proposed changes of financial fair play for next season, should we buy seasoned and proven players or invest in younger players and loan them out?
I guess it depends on what you think we need. I mean, I think we personally need a little bit of both. And if we're not going to be in Europe next season, it's not going to affect us anyway. So I think once we know if we're in European competition or not, we can start planning around FFP. And if we're not, mm-hmm. then it'll be business as usual.
Yep. Here's the deal. I'm going to try to not say both, but I want to say both because that's what we did in the summer regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we invested some of the future and we invested it right now. All right, you don't get James Rodriguez if you're investing strictly in the future, right? But you also don't get Ben Godfrey, you know, if you weren't completely certain he was going to produce right now, which we weren't,
right?
I mean, holy hell, he did.
Yes,
that's awesome, right?
In a huge way,
but we didn't know. Alan, that's not for the future, that's for now, that's somebody you know, right?
Right.
But again, with those types of players, there are risks, typically injury-based, right? But if you're doing that, if you're getting those players, you know about their personalities. That's the best thing about what's going on at Everton right now is the players that are coming, attitude-wise, they fit, all right?
Yes.
If you've been watching any Ted Lasso, you know there's no Jamie Tartt happening here. All right? That's right. I watch pop culture stuff. It's a really good show.
I am in pop culture.
But no, man, it's the personalities. Everybody's like about the team. And there's a new like gritty mentality from a lot of these new players. Love it.
Oh yeah. I'm 100% on board. Trust the club, whatever they want to buy. Carlo knows best. Let's ride. Let's see where we go.
And I will say though, I'm just going to say this. This is probably not good financial sense, but because I don't think we're good enough, if I have to answer between seasoned and proven players or investing in younger players and loan them out right now, I've got to say seasoned and proven players. I don't think we're good enough.
I agree with you. Need more depth for right now.
Okay. More questions. Jamie M 203. Who is most improved from last year?
Ooh, good question. These are good questions, Jerry.
Oh, no, these people are way more thoughtful than myself. They're great.
For me, this one's easy. Michael Keane.
I was going to say him as well. But I think you have a lot of choices because everybody, yes, I do. Feel like, is improved from last season. Is anybody not?
I mean, Calvert-Lewin will be a lot of people's favorite choice, and he's been leaps and bounds. And I think he can do the same thing he did this season, next season. Mm-hmm. Get as much better as he did this season, next season.
Yeah.
But for me, it's Michael Keane. I mean, for him to go from somebody that most people were trying to sell to a guy that you know exactly what you're going to get, a guy that can spray 60-yard passes,
mm-hmm.
he can be the rock in our back line, and I cannot worry.
Yeah.
He's in great. It's
really cool the fact that we actually have some center backs right now that are feeling really comfortable with each other despite the combinations. But I mean, you could make an argument for Yerry Mina too.
I was just about to say Yerry Mina has been almost just as much better as Michael Keane has. They both look so much more confident now. It's incredible. Night and day.
And I think it's just different. It's who switched it on at what point. Iwobi looks improved. Sigurdsson looks improved. Gomez looks improved. Pickford looks improved. I mean, yeah, you know, you said DCL, but I think right now the one that just immediately pops in my mind is Michael Keane.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. Josh Barnes asks, what do you think about Martinez from Inter? Lautaro Martinez. So
great player.
There's been a recent link with him. I think Jacob and I are in agreement here in saying he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. This is why Barca's been linked with him for a while now. He's great. I don't know that we're at the phase yet of being able to lure him in.
I don't think so either.
I don't think we're quite there yet. It's hard to say that because, hey, Everton's, you know, the shit. We love it. But it's hard to – you gotta sell that everybody else on that, right? It helps when you got Carlo Ancelotti, by the way.
It does.
Goes a long, long way.
You never know. James Rodriguez.
True. Yeah, but
I agree with you though. I don't think we're gonna be able to pull that one in.
I think if it was prime James Rodriguez, it would have been a lot tougher. And Lautaro Martinez is sort of prime right now, like as far as
Lautaro Martinez, the way I feel about him coming here is the same way I feel about Koulibaly coming here.
I would agree. Yeah.
I don't think for either of them it makes sense for us or for them.
Hmm.
Their wages would be big. Don't think it
like
works.
They're both great players. They both make us better.
Into our starting 11. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. It would make us better, so it could be cool. But the prices involved would be.
The wages would be.
And they wouldn't come.
Sheesh.
They don't. No. They probably don't want to be here. So I will. Yeah. But Josh, I like to dream. It would be nice. Live Kane. Livecane asks, do you think there'll be a North and South American tour this summer? I'm assuming he's talking about, or this person could be, is talking about Everton possibly touring the Americas, right. North and or South. I think they want to do that at some point. I just think pandemic is too complex, and I don't think it's going to happen this summer.
No, yeah, just COVID travel. I mean, it's not going to happen, but they have talked about wanting to do it before, so hopefully soon. I mean, I would love for it to happen, so.
I think if COVID wasn't a thing, I think it would have been this summer they would have been here, yes.
See, I agree with you, actually. I think so, too.
Yeah, I think they've been working really hard to try to really ingrain themselves in the culture of the Americas. So there's been efforts, and I think they would have continued that. Bowsy Toffee Tits, my favorite name on Reddit. Love Bowsy Toffee Tits. Asks, can we actually finish strongly to make the Europa League, or are we destined for mid-table mediocrity again? Oh. I'm going to be really quick and say, yes, we can finish strongly to make Europa League. It can happen. Yes.
I agree. Yeah, we're good enough. More than good enough.
No, I mean, the other teams are just as unpredictable. You know, inconsistent everybody is? Everybody, including us.
I mean, Tottenham's not way better than us. West Ham's not way better than us.
You never know.
If we get people back healthy and we take games seriously, absolutely. No reason why we shouldn't be finishing top seven.
Yeah. I feel like that's definite. Darkwing Duck 9, and by the way, I'm just going to say, I watched Darkwing Duck as a kid. So that's another good name. Do you envision the team being more capable offensively in the future? Is the 4.5 or 5-back formation with Coleman, Iwobi, Holgate, or maybe Davies in that spot at right back a thing to be continued? Also, what do you think about Godfrey at right back? He will be the starter, or the team will look for a more natural right back during the transfer window. So, you answer first. I've got a thought. I just don't want to sit there and be answering all these first like a jerk.
I mean, I think pretty clearly he wants to play something that's a bit more expansive. I don't think we have the personnel for it right now, so... yes, eventually I think we'll play more attacking. 1-2, Ben Godfrey can play anywhere, apparently, on the back line. So he's probably fine playing right back. But I personally think that we should be throwing all the Arteta money at a right back. I think that is priority number one. So, yeah. We want to play more expansive. We don't want to have 20% of the ball forever. And we need a right back. Yep. That's what I think.
I agree. Zero arguments. That guy said stuff I would say too. Yeah, I think if you're looking at our starters, the most natural fit at right back we have is Coleman. And Coleman can't go every game right now.
No.
I mean, he can, but he's mortal.
Tired
it's
legs.
Hard. Yes, it happens. You get older, you lose some of that consistency. It happens. So we need someone who's naturally in that place. And when you can't run a typical formation and get the same expectation out of them, Holgate is great defensively most of the time and has some trouble going forward. You don't get the same type of final ball that you get from Luka Dean. He doesn't have that. It's not a natural because he's a center back.
God bless Mason Holgate for playing right back when he was playing so well at center back too. Because he's not a right back. God help him, but he's not a right back.
Yeah, I mean, and I'd say the same thing for Godfrey, who is a center back who admirably steps into those positions.
Yes.
I love him covering those positions.
Yes.
Covering them, right?
But not full-time.
Right. If we're a team that has some funds, you cover when you need to. But if you can cover up gaps with natural fits, you do it. That's,
yeah.
All right. Gazandapus. Thoughts on the current center back situation? Mina, Keane, and Godfrey are all playing exceptional at the moment. So what do you think is our best pairing? I'm hesitant to leave any of them out when fit.
Wow, that's a really tough one. Okay, so I don't know, but my gut first choice was Keane and Godfrey. So I'm going to stick with Keane and Godfrey. Mm. But I think my second gut reaction is that's really harsh on Yerry Mina. I think they all should be playing regularly.
Rotate.
Yes, okay. I think they should all be playing regularly. They're all doing so well. It's hard to leave one out.
It's the rotation, I think, is the smart play there. And I would even include Holgate in those as well in terms of rotating. But right now, I feel like those are the three that have earned most of the playing time. For sure, fewer mental lapses and the energy that Godfrey gives every single game. That lack of respect that he gives to the opposition. Like, I don't care who we're playing. Screw them. Love that. Right? So, yeah, it is contagious. It's awesome. So, yeah, man. But I have to answer this. Keenan Godfrey. I'm going to say Keenan Godfrey. Mm. Yeah. Ugh, that hurts. I don't like having to answer those questions.
I love Yerry Mina. I love him. He's one of my favorite players on this team.
Yeah. Again.
Great
the
guy.
The fair thing is to rotate there.
Yeah.
SEA, CJM50 asks, who's the best bald Premier League era Evertonian? Andrew Johnson, Lee Carsley, Leon Osman. I actually asked Jacob this off camera. We have a very fast answer because we're American.
Tim Howard.
Here's why. Because we haven't been watching the team long enough to really, I mean, at this era, there's just not a lot of, you know, we haven't seen a lot of bald Evertonian players.
No shiny heads.
I mean, you know,
Cenk Tosun.
I was going to say Cenk Tosun had something going on. But yeah, Tim Howard, that's probably where we go with it. I would, and of course, I know who Leon Osman is. I love Leon Osman. And personality wise, he's probably one of the better. Like, I love listening to him talk the sport. Mm-hmm. His analysis is great. I love him. And had I been watching Everton for longer, probably would say Leon Osman, but anyway. Okay. Last question from Cheese Guy 12.
Cheese Guy.
Why is our goal diff so bad relative to the other teams in the top eight? What is the root problem behind this statistic? Offense, defense, goalkeeping, etc. Then Cheese Guy 12 said some nice things about the sound of our podcast. So I just want to say thank you, Cheese Guy.
Thank you, Cheese Guy.
Goal diff. Why not good for us?
We don't score enough goals to be a team with a high goal difference on the plus side. And I think we have too many of those 2-3, 1-2, 3-0 games against teams that we should beat. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think until that fixes up, we're not going to have a good goal difference. And I think that hurts us. So the answer is score more goals, win more winnable games. Have better goal difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're squeaking by.
Yes. Yeah. All of these wins, 1-2-0. I mean,
let's think about our stylistic play when you watch us play. It's a lot of defending.
Yes.
It's a lot of defending and making the most of our chances. Mm. You know, I think it's style of play, Cheese Guy.
Yeah.
That's where we're doing our best to minimize clean looks at goal. So when the opposition has chances, they're not very clean. You know, they're not seeing the goal very well. They've got a defender between them.
The best representation for this question is going to be when we play West Ham later in the season, because I think they've done really well this season, and they're right around us. And I think their style of play is, in a way, kind of similar to what we do. So I think that 90 minutes is going to be, you know, a great representation of why our goal difference is middling.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, a lot of close games, a lot of close games in the style of play.
I agree.
All right. So final subject, final segment here. This is not a mailbag question. One really quick, I did want to say thank you to everybody who submitted questions. We sincerely appreciate it. You give us, you know, cool stuff to talk about. That's awesome. So final thing to end the show on, Jacob, our season so far. How are you feeling about the season so far? So let's start. Do you feel like we've had enough big wins?
Yes.
What's the Tottenham biggest twice. Win for you?
Ooh, what's the best win for me? 5-4 against Tottenham in the Cup. That was fun.
Ooh, that's not that the one I was going to go with.
What are you thinking? Liverpool. Yeah.
Derby.
Yeah. I mean, significance Liverpool. What was my favorite game to watch? Probably the Tottenham game. The Liverpool game I couldn't enjoy. Uh-huh. I was dying the whole time.
I was trying to watch on other parents' cell phones on the sideline of my kid's game in a tournament.
Oh, that's brutal.
So, oh, yeah. But luckily they were all Everton supporters. So it was great. And one of them yelled at my son when the game was over to tell him that we won. With the game's going on. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yes.
What a moment, for sure.
Oh, it was great. But, yeah. That's the cup win. Holy crap.
1A, 1B for me. I mean, the Liverpool win was fantastic.
The fact that we have some options is nice, by the way.
Yeah, good. It is.
Disappointing losses.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot, right? The Newcastle loss is Southampton, Fulham.
Yeah.
Take your pick. Too many.
I wrote both Newcastle losses.
Yeah.
Hated them. Burnley. Fulham loss. Yeah. And we both kind of went the same places with that.
Yeah.
Player of the season for you so far?
Calvert-Lewin.
Calvert-Lewin.
I mean,
that's a good one. I mean, I mean, I feel like most people would say that. I went Michael Keane.
I have no problem with that. He is my second choice. And I think that question's really, really tough.
I mean, hey, again, how great is it
that we have options?
Yes. Feels good.
I agree.
So I don't like this question, but I have to ask it just for balance. Is there anyone you felt has had an underwhelming season for you so far?
Underwhelming.
I don't want to say disappointing, because maybe you're expecting a little something more. You haven't quite gotten it yet.
Oh, I think Richarlison, in a sense that for a lot, I think it's not super his fault either. I think the red card he got at the beginning of the season put a big hitch in his momentum. And then he was dealing with some injury, right? Or am I making that up?
I'm not sure.
But I mean, now he's picked up form and he's playing much better. So,
yeah. I mean, and he had a little goalless streak, although he was working his ass off the whole time.
Yes, he was.
You know, so for this question, I want to make it clear. Definitely not talking in trash about these players. It's just you held certain like lofty expectations, and maybe they're for me, I would say I hold Mason Holgate in the same regard as I do with the other center backs. I think I want to be able to rely on him the same as those other three. I want that. You know what I mean? The other three right now, I feel like are ahead. And it's only because there's been these little lapses here or there. So again, he's had some good games, some really good games. And I want to make that clear, but only because I want, when we've got him in at center back, I want to say, yes, awesome.
And see, totally again, I completely agree with you. Mason Holgate would have been my second option.
Cool. This is weird. We're all like agreeing and stuff.
I know.
Saying different things.
We've been on the same wavelength.
Signing of the season.
Oh, I think DeCore. I mean, what a monster.
It's the first thing I wrote down.
DeCore and Godfrey. And I mean, Hines has been great. But DeCore has – it has that midfield nastiness that we haven't had in a while.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can say that about Godfrey in the back, too.
Mm-hmm. yeah. Both outstanding.
The only hitch with DeCore is that injury.
It sucks so bad he got hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't just feel like injured. When it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you literally wrote down, or you said the first thing that I wrote down first and the second thing I wrote down second.
That's how you can make I've arguments been with for you. Yeah. 1A, 1B.
All right. How do you feel about our current league position? Is it what you expected? Is it better or is it worse?
A couple weeks ago, a month ago, I thought we'd be a little higher maybe. Then some injuries happened and a couple more bad losses happened, and now we're in eighth, you know, with a game in hand from Liverpool. You want to be in the top seven. I think we can compete with Tottenham, West Ham, and probably Liverpool this season, to be honest with you, with all the injuries.
Absolutely.
I think finishing eighth would be disappointing from where we've been.
I would agree.
So we'd like to see us a little higher. But for perspective, we have 10 more games and we're 3 points behind where we were last season, and we finished 12th. So we've been better no matter what.
Yeah.
Strides. It's going to be tough without DeCore. Tough.
Yeah.
Really it's tough.
Definitely possible, but it is tough. You're right. Yeah, right now, like where we're at right now, I think we're slightly below where I want to be. But I mean,
yeah.
Don't we have a game in hand? So we have a game in hand. And to me, that's why I feel like our league position is not even accurate. Mm-hmm. You know, until we get that, I'm always going to be like, well, look what we could be.
And it's funny because we've been like that, like the whole season we've been behind in games.
Yep. So it's been a weird representation. I've never mm-hmm. felt like it's been fully accurate each time.
Right.
How do you feel about Carlo's job so far? Tactical, man management, all that. Feeling good? Or have you had times where you've been doubtful?
I think it's okay to criticize him sometimes for the team selection and maybe the style that he wants to play. But for the huge, huge portions, I have been really impressed with how tactically he can implement a game plan. And if that game plan doesn't work, he can switch it on the fly. And I think the players have really bought in to what he's doing. And I think there's a lot of belief right now. And so I think he's doing a great job. I mean, he knows it's a long-term rebuild. And I think he's committed to that. And I think the players are committed to that. And I think we're in a really good spot, personally.
I admire his patience.
I do too. He's a very humble guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he takes a loss. He's kind of like, we're grinding.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get there.
No excuses ever.
Yep. So final thoughts. Season so far. Are you one of those? Or are you?
I'm right here for now.
By the way, I just realized people are listening via podcast. I did a thumbs up sign, and that's okay sign, and a thumbs down sign.
Well,
gosh, man, what's Jerry doing? They can't hear hand gestures.
Well, Jerry, thumbs in the middle for me for now.
Middle thumbs.
Make Europe. It's a big thumbs up. I'm doing a big thumbs up right now. If you're listening, big thumbs up.
Yeah. What if it's Europe Conference?
It's not gonna be. The Conference League, Jerry. It's not. Stop. Louisville just missed the tournament, and now I have to worry about Everton making a tournament that I don't want to make. Oh, help me.
All right. So, I will say, you know, I know our league position's not great right now, but I'm going to still say overall, I have some thumbs up for the season.
Yeah.
You know, I can't go thumbs down, and I realize we're in eighth. I think we're going to be higher. And the wins, we've had some disappointing losses. Those losses have been awful. Just to reiterate, they were shit. But yeah. The wins were big, and they felt great. And it was the kind of thing where Everton has deserved that as a club. The people have deserved, you know, joy like that. I feel like there's just more of that coming. So yeah, I'm gonna say it's a thumbs up because I think there's been some serious positives, and plus there's been a lot of cool like off the field stuff going on too in terms of like the. I mean, we're in a pandemic, and I feel like this is like the tightest that I've ever seen, like the American Evertonian contingent be. It's right. Like way more tight knit than I've ever experienced or seen. I think that's
it's really hard to not be excited about the direction it's heading right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in all aspects,
there's all these like Everton, like Spanish language, accounts, and there's Spanish language shows. We have one on Poppy Blues, actually.
Shout out Alejandro.
Alejandro. So yeah, check out his work if you speak Spanish. So yeah, that's. I mean, any other final thoughts on this, man? Or that it?
I just want to say I'm happy to be here. It's always nice to sit down and get to chat with you, and for everyone else. Trust the process because there's going to be more ugly losses, but I think we have a chance in the next couple of years to do something really cool. So hang in there.
Yeah.
Take it with bad.
That's good.
It's going to be fun. Mm.
It's like your Jerry Springer thought for the day. Mm. Yeah. I got to echo what Jacob's saying. I did want to make sure I told you, thanks for coming on, Jacob. Always cool to talk to you. Such a nice guy. So level-headed and so considered in everything you're saying. Do you have anything you would like to promote, good sir?
Not particularly. Actually, you got me there, Jerry.
Yeah, I was like, well, you've been writing all this stuff for fun, right? I'm sure you got like some crazy, website where you've been doing all kinds of analysis.
Harvesting the aliens and whatnot.
All right. So then I will plug for you. Everybody, follow Jacob on Twitter.
Thank you.
There you go. You should see his details down there. There you go. He's a human that lives in Tennessee that likes Everton. There you go. All right. So for everybody else out there, I'm just plug all the other stuff. If you've been digging the videos and the podcast, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel and the podcast. We'd really appreciate it. Because, holy cow, the subscribers have just been shooting up for the channel. And to think it used to be zero. And now it is at like over 8,000.
Yeah.
Right?
It's awesome to see.
I can't even fathom that because
I know
I remember the beginnings of this, Jacob, and my gosh, I had brown hair.
I'm with you.
When this started. Just kidding. It was still gray. Anyway, it was short though. Anyway, but thanks so much, everybody. Just wanted to throw that out there. Also, check out the Toffee Blues website. There is analysis from a lot of the kind folks that you see that show up on this channel often. That guy, the other guy, Jacob, who's been the other voice you've heard. Yeah, that's him.
I'm around. So,
yeah, he does some stuff on there and some other cool people do. It's all things Everton on there. It's just some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So why not check it out? Follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And that's all I have. I have a children's book to promote, Randolph the Christmas Moose. It's back there. Order it now on Amazon. It's not just about Christmas, but you know what? It does have Christmas in the title, and I feel sort of silly promoting it right now when it's like nearly Easter. You could pretend he's an Easter moose. It just,
Easter moose.
It'll have to happen at some point. That gives me all kinds of weird ideas. Okay, before I get into how in the world Randolph gets up with a rabbit. We should end this. Much thanks to everybody. Much love. I hope everybody's doing well. Jacob, thanks again, man.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Always welcome. And good luck to Orlando City as well, for your sake. Yeah, that's it, everybody. Have a good one. Take care. Stay safe out there. Yeah, much love. Bye-bye.